Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? Here with my beautiful wife, Christine. But we're going to open the show with a dedication, a musical rendition for County Council, which once again proved its ineptitude by suggesting that they can regulate whether or not federal agents can wear masks. Ha! They actually think they can pass legislation that makes ICE agents wearing masks lawbreakers. Ha! They actually think they can get Pittsburgh cops to write them tickets. Ha! In honor of that wonderful leadership, wonderful legislation, and courage, I have this song for the members of Allegheny County Council.
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Yes, fellas.
I'd unravel every riddle.
They'd unravel.
For any individual.
The fiddle.
In trouble or in pain.
Or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking you could be another Lincoln.
If they only had a brain. Goofballs. Goofballs. Come on, man. I have friends who are ICE agents. They are laughing hysterically right now. All of them with their masks on. At some point, someone on County Council will have a brain. And someone somewhere will say, huh? Has anyone tried to figure out whether or not this is enforceable? Huh? Oh, it's not. They are passing legislation that is valuable, that is as valuable as used toilet paper, for reference, from a judge. They just like to grandstand and preach their progressive BS, full spelling, from another judge. Waste of time. From another judge. Who will enforce this? All caps. Nobody. In Bridgeville, in the early morning, ICE agents wearing masks made a substantial arrest. In the early morning hours, they grabbed an illegal immigrant with a kidnapping conviction and will ship him out of the country. And they did it wearing masks, and they will continue to do it wearing masks. Whether you like ICE or not, I don't give a flying rat's behind. What I do care about is the ignorant waste of time and the far left fiddle play to the progressives. So they think, wow, we're going to crack down on ICE. We're going to punish them for wearing masks. No, you ain't, as we say here in Pittsburgh. One of my boys, Mad Max, who has serious contacts with ICE. Max, is this enforceable, sir? This idiotic idea.
No, it's not, Marty. It's just virtue signaling legislation. That's all it is.
And gives us another reason to realize that this council has no interest in doing anything meaningful, right?
Right. And let's talk about why ICE is wearing the mask. It's not just for, you know, the sake of wearing them. They have organizations like Casa de San Jose that have people under them, or, you know, that are affiliated with that are actively trying to dox ICE agents.
Hold on. Hold on to Max's point. And this is fact. Patrick, you posted, we didn't post them actually because they were kind of sketch, but there are videos all over social media that name ICE agents, do they not?
Yes, there are videos that show their license plates, yep, that log. Some of them are actually showing home addresses and phone numbers for these folks.
They want them hurt, do they not, Max? Right?
Yeah, I mean, they've even threatened to kill them. So, I mean, not just hurting them, but like putting bounties on them.
So at the end of the day, if they're wearing masks, it's to protect themselves from the possibility of getting doxxed, identified, and have their family hurt and or killed, isn't it?
That's a fact.
Max, the ICE agents that I know and I talked to as recently as an hour ago are laughing about this. This whole notion that county council thinks it has the legal authority to do such things. They don't, do they, Max?
No, they don't. And so, you know, again, this non-cooperation thing doesn't really make a difference. ICE is still going to come into Pittsburgh, Allegheny County. They're going to do their job. Whether or not they have the cooperation of local authorities is irrelevant. It would make their job easier, but at the end of the day, they're still going to do their job, and they're going to go after illegal people that shouldn't be in the country and deport them.
Mad Max, thanks, brother.
You got it.
Truth to power. I'm cool with legislation that makes a difference. I'm cool with legislation that creates change, that protects people, that serves the public. I'm disgusted by feckless leaders who believe that passing legislation that can never be enforced. By the way, I challenge anyone out there to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Prove to me. Prove to me that you can enforce this idiotic legislation. Because if you can, I got a song for you that you're going to want to hear. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual. Sing along at home.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Hey, them county council members ain't got no brain.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
they disrespect the process. And when far left bureaucratic entities disrespect the process breaks down and we laugh at them. Government is about governing, not wasting our time with grandstanding and political ignorance. You know, we've walked this walk before, with all due respect to Pittsburgh City Council. You may recall, after the Tree of Life shooting, with all good intentions, they voted to regulate firearms in the city, Pittsburgh City Council, if you recall. They voted to ban loaded magazines with more than 10 rounds of ammunition. They voted to ban semi-automatic weapons, made national news, front page of the New York Times. Unfortunately, they don't have the right to do this. These entities have no right to do anything like this. What they should focus on, potholes, garbage, cutting waste. What they should focus on is doing something to make a difference in this town. Safety downtown, drug addiction, alcoholism, homelessness. What they should focus on, the South Side. Listen to this. Grab that sound, please, Trevin, from the South Side. This is 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday night, the South Side. The horrifying violence continues. Listen. It's crazy.
Bro, I'm not playing. I'm literally not playing with nobody. What's up? I'm not playing. I'm not playing. I'm not playing.
Guy waving a gun. Pointing it at people.
I'll shoot you before you kill me.
I'll shoot you. I'll kill you.
You don't got to kill me.
South Side, Sunday night, 3 o'clock in the morning. Cast-offs from one of the derelict clubs over there that they won't regulate and won't shut down, that attract thugs and punks and hoodlums and drug dealers and drunks and folks who just want to fight. And no one has stopped it. No one. City council, county council should focus on making a difference in this town. Fix the crime problem. Fix the homeless problem. Fix the pothole problem. Fix the garbage on the streets problem. Fix it. Fix the school system. Fix the ambulances. Fix the fire trucks. Had the union president from the fire department on live Friday. They have a 35-year-old truck. They have multiple trucks that are more than 25 years old. You are not supposed to have a firefighting apparatus more than 15 years old. Yet they'll take the time and waste our time to tell us we can't buy guns in the city, can't use certain magazines in the city, and they have no control over any of it. What they're doing is grandstanding, profiling, suggesting they have control over something they know they don't. And what it does is it disrespects the process. I posted a picture this morning of a homeless man lying on the street on 2nd Avenue. Why? For several reasons. Number one, there are homeless shelters within 20 yards of where he's laying. 20. I'm going to post a video in a second of a significant number of folks high on drugs passed out on Liberty Avenue at lunchtime. Why? Where are the mental health teams? Where are the mental health experts? Where are the advocates to save these folks? And where are the folks who run the shelters to tap that man on the shoulder and say, sir, you have a choice here. You walk 10 yards into the shelter where we will offer you a bed and any help you need, or we will take you to jail. Sir, you have that choice right now. County council, city council, they're supposed to be advocating for the city of Pittsburgh, not fighting battles against guns they can't win, not fighting battles against a face mask that ICE wears that they can't win. They just can't. At some point, leaders will have to leave. Name two county council members that matter. Name one that matters. I challenge you. Name two city council members that matter. I know one, Anthony Coghill. I know one county council member, Pat Catena. Name one. Name the leaders who make a difference in this town in government. Name one. Instead, they fight the fight they can't win to aggravate, to support the far left. It's disingenuous, it's disheartening, and it's frightening. From one of my boys, they need to work on the freaking roads that give your car a nightmare when you travel constantly up torn up streets. From a cop, fix the cop situation. We are several hundred police officers short. Fix the teen violence situation. Every single day, we have packs of teens running rogue in downtown Pittsburgh. Every single day. What's the plan? I don't know. What's the resolution? I don't know. They want to make noise with a progressive agenda to go after ICE for wearing masks, and they know they have no legal authority to do so. They pursue a progressive agenda to ban magazines for semi-automatic weapons in Pittsburgh, and they know they can't control guns in this town. They pick fights they cannot win to support and uphold this far-left notion that is destroying this town. At some point, leaders will have to leave. 100 days in, we will ask Corey O'Connor those questions when we talk to him live at noon. At some point, we're going to have to forget placating the far left and placating instead the city of Pittsburgh and people who care about their streets, about crime, about violence, about drug abuse, about homelessness, about taxes, about housing. At some point, they're going to have to address the things that matter. But folks, let me say this. That would require heavy lifting, and most of them can't lift a paperweight. And that's the biggest problem of all.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
the best federal prosecutors in Pittsburgh have quit the U.S. Attorney's Office. How about that? It's crazy, man. The ones that take the high-profile cases, gone. Gone. Had enough. Head of the criminal division, civil divisions. 18 have left in all. The U.S. Attorney's Office here. It's bad. And expand that nationwide. About 4,000 have left nationwide. It's a record number. I'm here with my wife, Christine, and I have Marty Dietz on the line. Marty is the guru, the insider, has handled federal cases as the best attorney I know who handles such cases, and is on the line. Marty's is a problem, sir.
There's a problem. There's definitely a shortage down there. I know that they're working hard and they're working more than they ever have. But you know, just to put the total picture in context, Marty. A number of the people who have left recently, I'm 58. A number of them have been there, were there years before I became an attorney. So there were probably 5 to 6 that have probably retired. But there is a heck of a turnover down there, and there are prosecutors coming in that I have not met, and before I even have a case with them, they're gone.
Whoa.
So there's definitely an issue down there. I don't know what it is. There are still a handful of long-term prosecutors down there, very good prosecutors, but you're right. The young ones come, work a couple years, and they're gone.
Is that unusual, Marty, only a couple years? Because it sounds like it.
It's certainly unusual today. I can't help but think a little bit about, you know, this new generation. They're always looking to move up real quick, and they leave, and some of them leave without much experience and join these big firms. And I don't know the appeal from a big firm to bring a young federal prosecutor in unless they can get them cheaper than the, you know, the higher end law school graduates. But you know, it's not, in terms of seeking financial security for your family, it's not the greatest job. It's a public service job.
Yeah, sure.
I do think that a lot of the younger generation don't value that the way it was once valued.
And do you think that maybe among those who do go into that job, they are doing it, like you said, for kind of personal or moral reasons? And now with the change in administration, there's kind of been a different approach to the Department of Justice on a national level, and that filters down to the local levels, where there hasn't been as much of a separation between what the president is, you know, guiding them to do versus what they feel their priorities are. Do you see that as maybe some of the issues that could be happening?
Well, Marty, it's never been about politics before. Now everything's about politics with Trump. Well, there's that vibe, sir.
Absolutely. And it's a very good point. After you reached out to me, I reached out to a colleague of mine down there and just asked him some general questions. And you know, he's been there long enough that, you know, the politics don't really get to him. But the fact is, under Donald Trump, there have been a number of grand juries that declined indicting people. Americans don't realize how rare that is.
Explain what that means. That means Trump brought cases that didn't have jack squat evidence.
And, Marty, you know, a grand jury is a completely one-sided
right
affair.
On.
There's nobody presents anything favorable to a defendant there. And I mean, judges have many, many famous quotes. One judge, William Campbell, said you could indict a
ham sandwich.
That's a different judge. But one said if a prosecutor were candid, he could indict anybody at any time for anything, unless you're Donald Trump's DOJ. And, you know, a lot of these prosecutors don't want to be that handpicked person. They want to be able to do what's right. And it's really difficult. And, you know, we're so polarized now that,
that's
you
true.
Know, hypothetically, we've just gone through a democratic regime. You know, if you're a true, you know, I don't like to get liberal conservative, but if you're liberal leaning and you're a prosecutor in that office and the guy pulling the strings is so politically motivated, it doesn't sit right with you. I mean, it's got to be tough going to work every day.
Marty, from a logistical standpoint, how does it affect the caseload and getting cases to trial or getting cases disposed of? How?
Well, you know, God, I hope no judges hold this against me, but our district is notoriously slow in that anyway. And I can tell you that I've had a number of cases lately where prosecutors had to cover for each other because they're too busy and they've got to be in too many places at one time. And there are times, depending on the nature of the hearing, that really frustrates the judge, because I know the judges want to move these cases. But, you know, when you're short this many prosecutors now, that's got to be tough, because, you know, it's a public service job. It's a government job. And a lot of these people have families. They want to spend time with their families.
True.
And now, you know, you're sort of working like a private attorney out there that, you know, it's no longer a 9-to-5 job.
Well, and let me ask you, because the Tribune Review article says there's normally about 60 prosecutors in this office, but about 18 have departed since Trump's return to office. Many of them are very experienced, high-profile case attorneys, including many who worked on the Tree of Life case and others. Mm. So you're losing a lot of institutional knowledge and experience. Does that make a big difference in this kind of office?
Well, it does. There are a lot of new young attorneys, and, you know, from a public perspective, you'd like to have some confidence in who's running.
Hell
the
yeah.
Troy Rivetti, who's running the office, Troy and I became attorneys roughly around the same time. Troy's as good as it gets.
Sure.
You know, he's in there. He has the interim tag right now. I don't know what's going to happen, but you're losing a lot of the veterans, and the value of the veterans in the courtroom is one thing, and prosecuting defendants is another thing. But guiding these young prosecutors to become good prosecutors is another thing. And we were very, very strong with the upper level, you know, the older prosecutors, the upper level management, things like that. There are people who have left that I thought would have been career prosecutors, and they left at a later stage in their life. And, you know, listen, the unwritten rule, the one thing that nobody wants to mention is a lot of these prosecutors are going to jobs and they're getting paid a lot more money.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something that is a part of this as well.
Marty Dietz, the man. Thank you, sir. It's important stuff. Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Truth to power. ICE agents are not in the airport anymore. They're back on the streets. I'm here with my wife, Christine. I wanted to grab Joseph Patrick Murphy, the best immigration lawyer I know. They're back on the streets. Have you noticed a difference, sir? Are they more active, Marty? Sir? Yeah?
Yes. And the phones are ringing. We're back in business in the sense that that's going on again.
Oh, is it? So you can tell.
Oh, yeah. Right away, the phones, people crying, it goes from maybe 2 calls a day to maybe 7 pretty quickly. And you know that somebody's doing something because people are getting arrested.
So they made a major arrest in Bridgeville. A guy was wanted for kidnapping, and they wore masks. And I'm bringing this up because a county council passed this ordinance that can't be enforced because it's federal, that they want to cite these ICE agents for wearing masks. As an attorney represents these clients, does it matter to you?
No, not at all. In the sense that, you know, this has become such a highly politicized and highly emotional issue. A lot of people are behaving in irrational ways. And when you see that, whether it's here or in some, sometimes these Latin American countries, they have anti-narcotics units, they have to wear masks too for fear of reprisals. And the fear is not unfounded. I mean, they've already been massive doxing campaigns against all sorts of people, including conservative celebrities, Supreme Court justices. And all it takes is to get one person who is a little bit off, a little bit maybe an anger issue, people with psychiatric issues, and you expose them to the right rhetoric, and you have what you have outside Kavanaugh's house. The guy was out there with weapons.
Absolutely.
And killed the Supreme Court justice. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think of the Pittsburgh area as having a huge immigrant population recently, but where are these immigrants coming from who are being arrested typically?
Well, obviously, Latin America would be our closest neighbor, and that's where a large number of them are coming from. They're not concentrating in a sense where we'd see them, right? You have areas of the county and the larger Pittsburgh metro that, for whatever reason, you know, have fallen into disuse. The most obvious example being Charleroi. That was a quiet little town about 25 miles south of Pittsburgh. And they quietly opened up a factory that had been shuttered for years and went into business making frozen breakfast bowls, put a couple thousand migrants to work in there. But we would never see that here. The migrants don't really ever leave that town. In many cases, they don't have the ability to drive or licenses or cars. And they just stay in that town and they do their work and they buy their groceries from Queenie and that's their life. You see that too. McKeesport, which had been kind of abandoned by a lot of people, there's something like 900 Ecuadorian families have moved in over there. So,
and are those areas where these arrests are happening? Are many of those people here illegally? Do we know?
So, you know, they're certainly not here completely legally. There are people that entered with agricultural visas. Some are workers and overstayed in there. There are people who came to the border and were waved through during the Biden administration. There are people who came to the border and there were reasons to let them in. Someone with sickness, small children, comes to mind a woman that showed up at the border in the summer of 22. She was 19 at the time, about 37 weeks pregnant, with her two-year-old with her, and showed up in the summer heat at the border. They didn't turn her back to make her give birth in the desert of northern Mexico. They gave her a parole. They admitted her to the United States so she'd go have the baby in a hospital. So that it's a mix. It's a mix of different statuses. Fewer now are completely illegal in the sense that they snuck in the country, but those people are still here. Yeah.
And you have no problem with ICE agents wearing masks, sir?
Well, why would I? It makes no difference to my client or to
right
me.
On. Right on.
The only, you know, as long as, now, you, the fear, and perhaps not completely unreasonable, is, right, what do you got to hide? Well, I just told you what it is. They're hiding to protect their own safety and potentially to protect the safety of people who might come and harass them because these are law enforcement officers. Justice Kavanaugh likely didn't have a service revolver in the house with him. But if you go to an ICE agent's house and try and roust him in the middle of the night, it's not likely to end up gently. So it may even be for the protection of people who might be misguided by that. But the fear here is that someone with a mask where you don't know their identity, if they got out of line, how would you know who to file a lawsuit against? Mm-hmm. How would you know who to take the deposition of? How would you know who to arrest? How would you protect yourself against rogue agents when you don't know who's who?
Joseph Patrick Murphy, thanks, brother.
My pleasure, Marty. Always a good time.
Truth to power.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.